This would be impossible at present for Earthman to do himself. But they might do it for him if he wished. The blood of Earthman would congeal if his body were taken into outer space of a different frequency. But with new polarization of the body, this would not happen. They would have to take care of your physical structures. Things are different, so different, in these higher dimensions or higher frequencies. For example, there is a greater state of what is called purity of form. Most of what might be called dross or the poisons of the system are eliminated. Q. 20. What about things falling out of the sky? A. 20. In your country, in California, not long ago and not too far from this city, San Diego, huge blocks of ice fell down and smashed some of your cars in the streets. The authorities, to keep things quiet, said that this ice came from airplanes that were being defrosted. Laughter, they surely must have been frozen in ice because some of the blocks weighed over 250 pounds. So my friends, where did this ice really come from? A body in space, from Mars, from Venus? Did it fall off the poles of Venus? No. My friends, it came from what you incorrectly call empty space. Should space really open up, all kinds of things would come out of it. This space that I am now waving my hand in, waves Mark Propert's hand amusingly in the air. Holes in space, simply meaning other frequencies, in which there exists other worlds containing many of the things you have here and many other things you do not have here. Note, above ice incident occurred at Long Beach, California, a few years ago, and surprisingly enough was well known to the inner circle. Q. 21. The ice came out of another frequency then. A. 21. That is correct. A condition took place at that moment in that particular section over that city which was something like the condition preceding an earthquake. It caused a rent in space and an upset in frequency through which the ice fell into your frequency. Q. 22. What about the strange white stuff that has been observed in the air or caught on trees and wires that gradually disintegrates when held in the hand? Some call it angel's hair and have connected it with sources. A. 20 spaceships from outer space are sometimes picked up on your radar machines under certain conditions. To avoid this detection, they release showers of this substance. In my own language we call this substance Luckney phonetic spelling. It is a kind of radar shield. Q. 23. Do you wish this printed? Note, this question was followed by a definite pause, while members of the inner circle conferred. Then came the answer, A. 23. Null. Note, it is only because full permission was later given that this information is being included. 141. Q. 24. How many or approximately what quantity of spacecraft are now in our atmosphere? A. 24. In the upper atmosphere of the Earth you have between 5 and 10 million spaceships. Note, we fully realize that this may come as a great shock to many people, but it has been coordinated with many other OSC sources. We comment on the reasons for this enormous concentration of spaceships in the last chapter. Q. 25. Could you please briefly give us some idea of the size of spaceships? It is a very confused picture to us. A. 25. They vary greatly from the little disks that are used like electronic eyes, to the huge motherships. My friends, it may sound as if we are dealing with fantasy, but some of the large ships are known to be 5 miles or more in diameter. Note, this could mean their length is many times this. Later information intimated they could be of planetary size. Q. 26. Many people of this Earth think that the space people have established certain physical bases or artificial physical planets from which to operate their ships near the Earth. Will you please comment? 26. There are of course giant ships which can act as bases and send out smaller ships. They do not need physical bases. A fish in water does not need more water to take off. Q. 27. There are a lot of veiled references in our world today regarding the likelihood of our world experiencing a polar flip or change of axis of rotation. Is this likely? A. 27. A flip is not going to take place. There is a change, of course, in the magnetic poles and very much of a change. It may look a little dangerous, but this flip will not take place. Things have changed a little. They always do. The change is that the sun is giving off more cosmic energy to the earth. More is getting through the ionosphere now. By this I mean greater quantities, and also it is in a purer state than before. This is causing much heat to be let loose in the undercrust of the earth. This is causing their polar caps to melt rapidly so that you will have not another ice age but great floods which will sweep across the earth. You will also have great storms, but no ice age, no flip. Note, from this it would appear that it is possible to confuse changes in the magnetic poles with the likelihood of an axial flip. We realize this conflicts with the views of others. But we feel impelled to publish the views of the inner circle just as they were received. The inner circle always disclaims absolute knowledge and gives only their views. Q. 28. What is the greatest immediate danger facing the people of Earth? A. 28. Your greatest world danger is atomic power and its experimental use in these times. This is the greatest worry of the world, more so than the world yet knows. No matter where on Earth man may be, it will affect him regardless. If it is not stopped immediately, the Earth is going to suffer a great and long-lasting effect upon its people. Widespread genetic changes will result. The human form will be drastically changed, and not for the better. Plant life and all Earth life will be affected. The underwater experiments are even worse than the others. If Earthman ever has to turn to the sea for his food, he will be unable to do so. Today your scientific men who are going on with this are mad in the head. They think because they make tests to see if there is very much radiation, and not finding very much, they think this is all right. They do not stop to think of the effect of the little they are able to find. The little they find, if that little was not placed there by nature, a natural condition, then it is an unbalanced condition. They are playing like children with a toy. After the experiments are over, what have they found out? What have they proven by this thing? Do you know? The effects are not going to come fast but slowly. They will come slowly, like a thief in the night. Note, the inner circle is in earnest in its forthright warnings regarding their dangers we face with atomic energy. They also state that there are other energy differentials, far less dangerous, which we should seek. Q. 29. What about so-called fireballs? Some are green fireballs. A. 29. The Guardians are doing all they can under cosmic law to help men of Earth. They send these great balls of light into the atmosphere to help neutralize dangerous atomic radiations. They gather the radiation and convert it to forms less dangerous to the human body. Note, if this is true, and some experienced researchers have for years found the inner circle both honorable and reliable, it is certainly a comment on our civilization. What a picture, our scientists poisoning our Earth, and the spacemen, our elder brothers, neutralizing the poison. Q. 30. Is this why the spaceships have come to Earth in such numbers? A. We do not like to come and talk to you of unhappy conditions. Yet we must. You cannot bury your heads in the sand. Primarily they are coming to warn you to be careful, but not this alone. The time for warnings is getting short. You are poisoning your atmosphere. Your people will not be able to live on the earth if you continue it. You will turn your beautiful earth to desolation. Note, while great emphasis is here placed on the danger of atomic radiation, note the phrase "but not this alone." See last chapter for further discussion of why they are here. Q. 31. Do you mean there is a possibility of man destroying himself from the Earth? A. 31. Man definitely may destroy himself from the Earth. He is seeking to do this now. He has an unconscious masochistic desire for destruction, and so it may be. As time does not matter very much in the cosmic scheme of things, if man wants to destroy himself physically from the earth for a period of time, that is his right. This may be a necessary experience, but he will eventually come back again and try again, for this he must. Note, this is somewhat condensed, but the intimation appeared to be that if man wipes himself from the earth, he will come back to earth again and again until he finally learns the lesson that destruction does not pay. Q. 32. Will man be permitted to destroy the earth itself? A. 32. No. The main concern of the space people is not that man may destroy himself from the earth. What they do not want to happen is sudden mutations or chemical changes in the physical structure of the Earth due to radiations from these bombs. Remember that the cosmic radiation from the Sun itself is highly diluted as it comes through the ionosphere, so that only a bearable part gets through. By letting loose these bombs, you get pure energy into your atmosphere with nothing to dilute it or break it down into more or less harmless substances. The planet Earth is a school, a very necessary school. Man is not going to destroy the Earth. Q. 33. In a dire emergency, would these spacecraft take some of the people off the Earth, take them somewhere else? A. 33. That is right. It would be voluntary. Those that did not want to go could stay. Q. 34. Is there anything we humans can do, things we should be doing and are not doing? A. 34. There are of course many things you are not doing. There are also many things that you do not know to do, and I am in no position to tell you now. Many great teachers have shown you the way. My friends, do you know how to live day by day? To center your thoughts upon what you are doing? To forget what others are doing? To play your own part to the best of your ability? Do the best you can. Learn meditation. Learn emotional control. It is very important. Learn detachment, to be the dreamer and not the dream. Live your life to the fullest with love. You cannot do more. Chapter 19. Our beautiful Earth. Is it not an awe-inspiring thing to talk to people in other dimensions of life? Just think of piercing through the veil of the frequencies and saying hello to someone living in a different frequency. No matter who that person was, it would be a thrilling experience. But just suppose the person you talked to was in a place in the universe and was of a mentality to know many things that people on this earth have never been able to find out, at least not in our generation. What a chance that would be to ask questions and to find out some things. And yet that is the position we actually felt ourselves to be in when we were talking to the members of the inner circle with the assistance of our friend Mark Probert. We wanted to find out more about our planet Earth and how it compared with the other planets in our solar system. In the preceding interview with the inner circle, we found out a little, but later we were privileged to find out a bit more. We feel that our readers will be interested. So let us summarize it all and take a look at our Earth through the eyes of those who can do what we cannot do, namely, view it and the other planets from outer space. Here is what they say. The Ardadishite, the Earth is a very beautiful spot from space. Indeed, compared with the other planets, it is like a beautiful oasis in the vast sea of space. The Gardians know that your Earth is the greatest, the most beautiful spot in the solar system. It is the most livable body in your solar system. Astronomer Ramon Natley, observing the Earth through these huge astroscreens on Venus, it is found to be a multicolored jewel, with a comparatively short comet-like tail, trailing sunward from it. From my observation of it, I would say that it is the most beautiful planet in their entire solar system. The colors due to the changing seasons vary considerably. There are pale greens and dark jungle greens and reds and yellows. The vast oceans, except when the sun is shining at a slanting angle upon them, are a dark slate blue. Due to the fact that there is more water than land, the predominating color tends naturally to be dark slate blue. On land, the chief color is green, that is the outstanding color. Since receiving this information, we have asked many of our Earth friends just why it is that Earthman, who it seems has been given the most beautiful living quarters in the entire solar system, seems so unappreciative of his Maker's generosity and persists in such destructiveness. The reply of one of them seems worthy of note. Well, maybe the space beings feel that the delinquent children and the mental defectives somehow need the best educational facilities. See Mystic Magazine, January, 1956, for further Inner Circle information on planets. Chapter 20, What the Public Expects of a Sorcerer. After we had met many a sorcerer, studied many a sighting or contact, listened to many sorcerer experiences, read a number of books on the subject, joined in innumerable sorcerer discussions, and attended all available lectures, we were truly appalled by one thing. That was what the public expects of a sorcerer. It is like this. Some decent, honest, self-respecting chap is going someplace, or is just sitting someplace minding his own business. Then down comes a sorcerer, and bang! All of a sudden he is a genius. In a flash he is supposed to know everything. Overnight he is catapulted into prominence. He suddenly becomes a somebody, even if that somebody is only a target for ridicule and the butt of many a joke. His friends hear about his experience, and they all start asking him questions. They ask this question and that question and some in between questions. They amuse themselves at his expense. Soon a group, pining for a lecture, gets hold of him and puts him on the platform. His sorcerer experience only lasted, shall we say, 10 minutes or possibly 30 minutes. But what does that matter to his public? They have captured a real live sorcerer, a celebrity. But that is putting it too mildly. They have literally corralled a sorcerer authority. So they put him on a public lecture platform, and what does the public expect of him? Did you ever listen to the questions in a sorcerer lecture? We have many times, and can give you some idea. The public expects just about everything of a sorcerer. They expect him to be a combination of a modern cosmic Galileo, Columbus, Einstein, Kinsey, and Messiah, all from a few minutes sorcerer experience. They expect him to know all about everything, including such minor items as the planets, the galaxies, the ethers, outer space, energy, status, electricity, magnetism, cosmology, spaceship technology, metallurgy and instrumentation, extraterrestrial science, sociology, agriculture, education, religion, government, living conditions on Mars, the latest fashions on Venus, the sexual behavior of the Plutonians, and real estate and business opportunities on the asteroids. As we have listened to the questions hurled by the public at some poor lecturing sorcerers, we have wondered why some of them did not just give the public an earful, right out of their own imagination. It would have served the questioners right. At first we enjoyed many a hearty laugh at these impossible questions the public saw fit to ask. But later we began to see that the public was in the process of sadly spoiling some very decent individuals. In the name of reason, let the public and the sorcerer enthusiasts realize the inevitable imitations of each and every sorcerer experience and stop expecting the entire cosmos and all its secrets from one or two worthy fellows who were fortunate to have a contact or experience. Sorcerers and sorcerer experiences are valuable. If we wish to learn more about outer space, we should certainly encourage them to tell of their experiences. But let us not spoil them or tempt them beyond their depth. We feel the public owes this to the sorcerers. And likewise, as we see it, the sorcerer has a duty to the public. All sorcerer experiences have their limitations. Most of them are of short duration, and telling about the experiences themselves in most cases will not occupy the entire time of an average lecture period. Therefore, whatever else is present must be clearly distinguished from the experiences and should be properly labeled as interpretation or opinion or the philosophy of the lecturer. Moreover, since all of us in our efforts to understand outer space are definitely going to be dealing more and more with the phenomena of various states and stages of consciousness, it is increasingly important to distinguish an experience as either occurring in three-dimensional, physical, consciousness or in some other state of consciousness. We like their sorcerers who plainly say, "I don't know once in a while, at least often enough to make us feel sure that they have not lost that priceless quality of a true sorcerer, humility. In our thinking, another related point is important to remember at this time. We are living in an age when great changes are rapidly taking place in human thought. New cosmic concepts, ideas and truths are literally pouring into human consciousness everywhere in the world. Without in the least minimizing the importance of the sorcerer's contributions to this truth, nevertheless it is wise to recognize the fact that the entire sorcerer phenomena represent only one channel of unfoldment of this incoming avalanche of new knowledge. This knowledge is flowing in through countless other channels on a worldwide basis. It is being beamed to our world from higher dimensions of life as a part of the activities of this new age. Anyone who tries to say this is my idea because I obtain edit from a spaceman is going to discover that other people in the world may have received it even before he did. Moreover, no sorcerer contact may have been necessary for their particular unfoldment. Cosmic truth is flowing to this world by itself. Thus it is going to be more and more difficult and eventually useless to try to pin down the exact source or outlet. New truth is nothing but old truth coming again into conscious awareness. Truth is truth whether it comes from a sorcerer's contact with a space being, a sorcerer's own mind, or anyone else's mind. The truth itself is the important thing, not the source. It is free, universal, and belongs to all of us. The space people tell us that in the last analysis there is only one consciousness, one mind, the All Mind. The All Mind is rapidly unfolding itself to all of us in its own way. Few patents are going to be granted on cosmic truth. This is something to ponder. Chapter 21. Sources and Semantics. We have listened to many a saucer discussion or lecture. Too often we have watched the discussion degenerate into an argument, and soon there was too much heat and not enough light as we sat back and listened to such performances. We honestly felt that if everybody had the same meaning for the same words, about 75% of the arguments would turn out to be agreements, and, to borrow a phrase from the immortal bard, a deal of stinking breath could be avoided. Thus we ran headlong into semantics, and the problem of the meaning of words as applied to sources and space phenomena. But this was not all. We found that the advent of sorcerers in our modern world has been such an overwhelming thing that we actually lack new words with which to explain them. The sorcerer phenomena represent something so far out in front of all branches of human knowledge that they leave many of us gasping for breath and pawing around for new words to describe them. We are dealing with things so extremely different from what we are used to. The outer space norm is so different from our physical norm that we actually run into this lack of suitable words. We also discovered another interesting point. Certain words we tried to use in connection with sources, which seemed to us to have fairly usable dictionary definitions, produced such an unexpected and horrible effect on our listeners that we actually had to stop using them. We had to avoid them like hot pokers. It seems that certain words actually engender a feeling of distrust or fear in the minds of some listeners. We presume this is a phase of man's fear of the unknown, his distrust of what he does not understand. These words seem to close some people's minds to the subject in a sort of self-protection or an automatic resistance to the cosmic concepts we were trying to present. Not that there was anything fearful or dangerous in these concepts. To us, the superphysical aspects of outer space are infinitely beautiful and magnificent. But we found that certain words were, let us say, inadvisable in connection with sources. We shall later discuss a few such words which we found must be used sparingly, cautiously or not at all, at least in public discussions of the subject. We hope that new and more suitable words can be found. We need new words which do not have clinging to them the old vibrations or any of the old meanings which act as mental blocks to understanding the more advanced aspects of space phenomena. If we can all get together on words, terms and meanings, maybe we can get together in much better fashion in our understanding of these phenomena. Let us briefly illustrate a few of these practical difficulties. What overall term would you apply to communication between space beings and men of Earth? The methods used in such communications vary enormously. They can be physical, or electronic, or some phase of ESP extrasensory perception, or some other method. We felt the need of an inclusive term to cover these remarkable phenomena as a whole. We found no suitable word or term being used, and so we decided to use the expression OSCR to space communication. We hereby bequeath it without charge to all students of sorcery. Now let us consider another example of the need of new words for the new wonders of outer space. What term would you apply to a cosmic action in which an object goes out of the range of all of the human senses, but still exists with just as much visibility and just as much, or more, solidity or tangibility? The point is that our human senses lose track of the object's reality, but its reality goes right on undiminished and even heightened for those whose senses can keep it tuned in. We, with our five physical senses, can only tune into one waveband of reality of life, the physical waveband. But the more advanced space beings can tune into several wavebands of reality. Now what would you call such an activity, or the reverse of it, in which the object comes into the waveband of our human senses? The above represents one or more of the cosmic actions of spaceships and is more fully set forth in Chapter 27. But what words shall we apply to such cosmic actions? Maybe the Greeks had a word for it. Let us hope they did, because it is hard to find modern ready-made words whose definitions and meanings will fit these cases. These actions are typical of the characteristics of spacecraft and space people, which stump our dictionaries and floor many of us both mentally and emotionally. We had a bit of fun trying to get some practical answers to this particular word puzzle. A group of us were discussing the problem. A friend asked, "Why not simply use the words appear and disappear?" "Because," answered one, "if you are in an airplane and you fly away from me out of my sight, you disappear, but I can overtake you in a faster plane and find you. But I can never find, with my human senses, a spaceship after it has passed into a higher frequency." "What about materialize and dematerialize?" asked another friend. "Mat and demat. Some sorcery lecturers are using those terms," I replied. "The trouble with that is that a spaceship in going into a higher frequency does not dematerialize, but merely goes beyond our sense range. It is then actually denser, more material than it was before, at least to the people who accompany it." Several other words were suggested, but none seemed to fit the need. The group recognized the fact that the mutations of spaceships are not a simple matter. Well-authenticated reports show that spaceships often show up on radar scopes even though they are in a state of invisibility to human sight, but close enough so that they should be seen. Finally, our group decided upon the terms emergence transcend, and we hereby also bequeath these terms properly redefined to cover space phenomena to the New Age Dictionary, which we hope someone soon will produce. Will some cosmic Samuel Johnson please step forward? That is what we really need. A New Age or Flying Saucer Dictionary. It should be filled to the brim with New Age words and definitions and descriptions of space people and spaceships and the cosmic capers they go through. We certainly hope some of our readers will tackle this worthy project. We suggest it be called the AS Dictionary, the After Saucers Dictionary. This would properly distinguish it from those old, forlorn, decrepit, useless and totally outmoded BS dictionaries. The before sources variety, which are not even heptasources. After all, of what use are old three-dimensional words to convey higher dimensional meanings? And may we modestly suggest that because of their usefulness the following words and definitions be assigned a prominent place in this new AS dictionary. Note. As a matter of fact, Mead Lane and Mark Probert's Inner Circle contributed the word merge, and should be given full credit. However, the selection of the term transcend for the opposite action is our own effort. Sample words needed in new dictionary. Apportation, the process of reducing a formed object to thought energy, attracting this energy to the consciousness of the individual controlling the process, transforming the energy back into the form in which it originally existed, and thus gaining possession of the object. Emergence, applied to spacecraft descending to Earth from higher frequencies of life. The act of tuning into Earth's three-dimensional form of existence by reducing the vibratory frequency and changing the polarization or plane of energy motion of a spaceship so that the craft and its contents become visible and tangible to the human senses.